Can you imagine 50 people getting born again and then Spirit-filled? I can. I can do that. 1,000 is, it's tough on my imagination, but I can imagine that. I can imagine the 50 being. Can you imagine 20? Now, I can imagine this because I've seen it in Dave Roberson's meetings. Can you imagine 20 people in that setting becoming just totally pain-free? Just totally, absolutely, I mean, come in with some kind of excruciating or chronic pain and just saying, my God, I am pain. I tell you before everybody, I am pain-free. And I like revival services where they're real. You know what I don't like? Is when the preacher has to ask somebody 10 times, now, is it feeling better? Yes. How's it going? Yes. Is it feel? You know, when somebody's really pain-free, they're like, God, I'm pain-free. I am pain-free. And so I think I can imagine 20 people getting pain-free. Can you imagine, okay, if it's revival, if it's that touch, that initial kind of touch of what we say is extraordinary, can you imagine 2 or 3 people getting their ears opened up? At least one ear, because a lot of people have deafness in one ear. I can see that because I've seen that before. I saw a guy... God opened his eye completely. He was blind in one eye. It had been operated on, and it was healed here in Pastor Dave Roberson's meeting. And that guy acted like I imagine people would act. He did, didn't he? He acted like I really have a problem with people when they're like something astronomical happens to them, and they're like, you know, what's that guy, the red eye commercial? Yeah, the Lord opened my ears and he healed me. I've been deaf for 25 years. Did he do it? My God, I see people that are healed like the man running and leaping and praising God. That guy stood up back there and he said, I mean, he was so exuberant. I can see. I can see. I can see. It was there. I can see blind eyes in that meeting of those 50 people being healed. I can see people with deaf ears being opened up. I can imagine, because I've seen this before, but I can imagine 2 or 3 wheelchairs in the auditorium that people got up out of. I've seen that before. I've seen that. I've experienced it. But I can also make my mind go there and say I see that, and I can see the exuberance of people when their eyes were opened or their ears were opened. I can see that. Hallelujah. Now, what happens after that? Now, this is important. Now, listen, because we will go to the Word of God and make this very spiritual in just a few moments. Okay, everybody got a picture of that day? Okay, is that happy? Is that what we've been asking God for? Are we ready? We want that to happen all the time? Amen. Okay, what then? We go home. It's a beautiful day, because this is all that I can accompany with my mind with. It's a beautiful day. Revival, I'll tell you this, will come in the fall or the winter in Florida. It'll not be a hot, steamy day, okay? A cold front will have pushed through the night. The air will be pristine. The sky will be blue. Revival. Revival. The air will be crisp and clean. There'll be no humidity. We'll go home to a big meal, or we'll gather at a restaurant to shout his praises and say, my God, did you see that? 50 were born again. 20 got healed. A blind, two or three blind, 2 or 3 with deaf ears. After that, we'll head home. We'll settle into a soft, warm bed for a nap. Or watch our favorite football team, maybe have a cup of coffee or nice hot steaming tea. Maybe we'll feel so inspired that we'll call another brother and sister in the Lord and talk about how wonderful the service was, you know, just so wonderful. Maybe we'll just reminisce throughout the day, and maybe we'll be so inspired that we'll write a letter or call a family member that we haven't talked to in a long time and said, you should have been at church today, or you should have been in our church, and it'll be just so wonderful. Hallelujah. Still, Monday's coming, okay? And now you begin to realize the time that you begin to think about tomorrow, the husband, the wife, the kids, the job. And at that point in time, without really realizing it or thinking too much about it, you begin to disconnect. This is the way that it would be easy to imagine what that day or the day after that would be. You begin to disconnect with the absolute astronomical events that just took place the day before or that particular day. Hallelujah. At that point, you start to disconnect. You begin thinking about, because we're always saying revival, we say we're in revival, revival's coming. Even if that happened on a particular Sunday, we begin to think of how wonderful the next meeting is going to be. In other words, next Sunday, it's going to be wonderful. We begin to think about how wonderful that's going to be. And then we just go right back into our same routine. Everybody say routine. Leading up to the big miracle day of the next week, the same routines, if we're thinking like we think now, would still be played out. The backyard barbecues, the Saturday football game, doing with the kids what we normally do, or this or that or the other. But we would be thinking about, I can't wait to get back to church because 50 were saved last week, filled with the Holy Ghost and all those wonderful things. But as it is right now, based on the way that our brain thinks, we try to integrate the supernatural with a routine. And so we're thinking like, oh yeah, Saturday is it's football with the kids, or it's at the park, or it's whatever I'm normally doing, and I can't wait to get back to church on Sunday. Well, wouldn't you want to get back to church on Sunday? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to get back to? Hallelujah. So we're thinking, you know what we're thinking? Because we're thinking about all those people that got healed, you know what we're thinking like is this. We're thinking in the people in the wheelchairs must be really glad that now they can walk through the mall. They must be glad that they can walk through the mall. We may be thinking about the blind person. Man, now the blind person can watch their favorite TV show or watch their favorite football game. Or the deaf person can listen to their favorite tunes again. The pain-free people, we're thinking, man, we're going to go have another wonderful service so then people can be healed and then they can live their lives. And the pain-free people were thinking, man, isn't it wonderful? They're no longer in pain. Now they can really have a happy life. A happy life. And in just a moment, we're going to look at what revival really looks like and how it changes your life. Where are you going to find that at? We're going to find that from the Word of God. We've never seen revival. We have no idea what it looks like, so we intermingle that what our minds tell us, what proceeds through the only information that we have. How many of you have ever been part of a revival? I mean, where the blind see, the lame walk. Wave at me. One. Okay. One says they have, they saw those kinds of things. We've seen people healed and filled to a limited degree so much, not so much that it's changed presently our routines. And I'm not finding fault with what we don't know. We are at this point where we are because we're just proceeding to go forward and doing the best that we can. But what does it look like? Now, I will say this, and this sounds a little bit about what Homer was teaching Wednesday night, and I want us to read from the Word of God. What is a popular idea among us, or maybe a popular teaching or a popular understanding, is this. One of the reasons why that we have not had, and this has not never been preached here necessarily, specifically like this, or by any of my colleagues, but one of the reasons why we've not yet had revival is because we've just not prayed enough. And that sounds like that may be the reason why. One of the reasons why that we've not yet had that wonderful outpouring is that we've not spoken tongues. We've not prayed the mysteries long enough? If we've not, how many of you know it's important to pray the mysteries? But maybe we've not put enough time in, and there's not been enough mystery gone up and enough mystery come down that it would birth us having a revival. So we could kind of think that maybe we've not fasted enough. Maybe there's not been enough of us corporately or cumulatively that have fasted. Or maybe the ones that were fasting didn't, you know, do their fast long enough. Or maybe they were, God told them to go 21 days and they went 18 days. And man, he's just waiting for the day that they hit the magic 21. And then if enough people do that, cha-ching, we hit revival status. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, can I go? What is among us oftentimes as a mindset without even saying this, if we get enough flesh destroyed, we'll have revival. If we get our doctrine, how many of you know that we've been teaching against, we've been teaching on dying to the flesh? How many of you know we'll continue to die, we'll teach on dying to the flesh? How many of you know we've been teaching on sound doctrine? But also there's a prevailing, if we don't watch it and understand, is if we get our doctrine just so lined up, the Holy Spirit's going to say, now you're ready for revival. Here it comes. Boom. What if we walk in love? Our love walk must be perfected. And the day that all of you, not just me and Homer, but all of you, love each other enough, then revival is going to fall. Well, does that sound right? It sounds right, but none of you are saying amen. You're scared to say anything. Now, the Bible says after his passion, that's his resurrection, after his passion, he was seen of the elders, or he was seen of his disciples 40 days. You know, there was a place where Jesus walked in John chapter 20, and he breathed upon them. He breathed upon his disciples, and he said, whosoever sinned, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, they didn't start speaking in tongues then. But what did happen to them is that's when they were born again. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then he told them what actually happened to them. Whosoever sins you remit, they will be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they will be retained. In other words, you get a chance to preach the gospel, and anybody that prays the prayer to receive me, you get to, as an ambassador, say to them, not as the one forgiving them, but the one who's standing in my stead, say to them, your sins are forgiven. He breathed upon them. Now, he didn't ever breathe upon them when he sent them out. And they raised the dead, healed the sick, cast out devils, saw the same miracles that he did. Now, that's a thought-provoking thing right there. Sinners can perform miracles. They did then, not in this dispensation per se, but did you know unregenerate, non-born again men were performing miracles? Because they had his anointing on them for that period of time. Then he says unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Once Jesus was resurrected and glorified, the price had been paid for humanity. Then the Holy Spirit has the one, the prototype, in which he can come and duplicate that prototype to every man's spirit that will ever be born again. Before he was ever ascended, people could get born again in that short period of time, those 40 days. So 40 days, he leaves. It's another 10 days from there because it's 40 days after his passion, and it's 50 days to Pentecost. So you got a roughly 10 days in between. Now, we know that those disciples, the apostles, were born again then. And I can just about tell you, certainly, they just didn't keep it quiet. We've seen the Lord, and we've received something on the inside. Don't you think they were telling all those others? Don't you think he was telling all those 120? They could be born again then. The only thing, the Holy Spirit had not yet. Sometimes people say, the Holy Spirit came from heaven. The Holy Spirit's always been on earth. It's just what he came with was another something from the Father, the baptism. He was with Jesus. He was with the apostles. Jesus said, he's been with you. Now he's going to be in you. The difference was they were performing the works with him, with the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost is in them. Hallelujah. We've got the Holy Ghost in us today. Bless the name of the Lord. immediately after, and we're going to read this in just a moment, the power fell on their life when the Holy Ghost fell. What we're going to see, what we see is this. Immediately, the duplication of what we're after. Now, I can read old books about what revival looks like, but the greatest and the best revival that I've ever seen is in the Word of God. That's the most pure. But immediately, we find those men went immediately from being born again and filled with the Spirit into great power. They did not fast 40 days. Now, I'm not asking you to not stop fasting. Somebody said, I was glad this message was going along these lines. This is helping me. They did not pray in tongues for 2 months or 5 years. I like what Homer said Wednesday night. He said he'd probably prayed in tongues way more than the apostles before that happened. They did not pray in tongues. Well, Pastor, one thing I do know about them, their love walk was perfect after the baptism. Do you know years later, Peter has to have a vision on the rooftop to interrupt his love walk and say, Peter, you've got to go and minister to the Gentiles. Don't leave them out. I told you, in essence, to love them from the very beginning, and for all these years, you have not been loving the Gentiles. And you need. And it took a Holy Ghost vision, although he was born again, Spirit-filled. Well, you mean it's not the total perfection of, well, I know what it is. Those guys walked in perfect sound doctrine. Oh, really? Read the book of Galatians. Years later, they went down and their doctrine was still, to some degree, messed up. And Paul said, look, you guys are messed up in your doctrine. And yet we find from day one, they walked in the power of God. From day one. Now, flaky people do this. Flaky people say, well, then that means it's sovereign. That means we don't have to do anything. And he's just going to come when he wants to come. We got some flaky people on the front row. Well, what is it, Pastor? Well, one, just real quick, this is just one of the things. I call it the believability factor. For 3.5 years, they had followed a man, the Messiah, who whatever he prayed came to pass. They saw the blind. They saw the deaf. They saw some of what is keeping us back is our senses have never seen it, and we're breaking through to a place. What if week after week your senses were so baptized in watching the miracles take place? Do you believe the next service that you came into that your level, your faith level would be such on a level, I saw it last week, I believe I'll see it again. But the other thing is this, the greatest intercessor that had ever lived, the pure Lamb of God, gave his life saying these words, hold not this to their charge. He birthed, his prayers birthed that first and great revival in the church and brought it forth. But let's look at Acts for just a moment. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Oh, Acts chapter 1. We're not going to read all these. Hallelujah. Everybody say glory. Everybody say, I love you, Pastor. I'll stay with you until you're done. Unless it's too long. Hallelujah. Okay, Acts chapter 1, I'll just tell you that is the ascension. And that's where Christ goes up. And there's a lot of stuff in there. The disciples go back to Jerusalem. And there's, 11 of them. And Peter says, the Bible says in the Psalms that we should choose another. Judas is no longer with us, and let's choose another. And the Bible says they cast lots. And I personally believe that they should have never cast lots. They were not yet filled with the Spirit, and you never find from that point on ever any apostle ever or any man of God ever making a decision on what they should be doing by casting lots. It was always, separate unto me. After they prayed and fasted, the Holy Ghost would say, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul. Or the Holy Ghost would say this, or God would say this. So I really believe that these guys made a decision on their own, yet God honored it. But let's look at Acts chapter 2. It begins in Acts chapter 2. That's where what we're after begins. Let's look at the first four verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we'll just stop right there. So Peter preaches after this. First of all, what happens? The Holy Ghost falls, does he not? Is he power? Yes, he is. And so it begins. And then Peter, we're not going to go into his sermon, but Peter preaches. And after he preaches, we'll skip over to verse 41. He preaches a sermon right in that same moment. As soon as everybody got filled, he stands up, preaches a sermon, not to the 120, but to everybody that was listening outside. And it says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them 3,000 souls." Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Yes. The power falls. Salvation, a preaching takes place. This is not a big sermon. And as soon as he does that, 3,000 people are born again. Does that sound like revival? That's the beginning. There's the church beginning right there. That's the beginning of the church. Glory be to God. 3,000 conversions. Now, Acts chapter 3. Let's look at 1 through 8. It says, "And now Peter and John went up together into the temple, the same of the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask of alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto him, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood, walking, entering into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Hallelujah. Power falls. Thousands are born again. The next first miracle without Jesus being on the planet. Here, the Spirit-filled men of God, they just weren't even expecting it. They're on their way into the temple, and they heal this crippled man that had been crippled from his mother's womb. The power falls. And what happens as a result of that? As a result of what? That moment in time, as a result of that miracle, then everybody else is astonished that watched it. Everybody gathers. Everybody looks. The power falls. Then what happens? Salvation's about to take place. Chapter 4. Look at verse 4. It says this. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed." And this, we don't have time to go through it, but this is right after this man is healed and everybody's standing there watching what has taken place. Peter preaches to him, and it says here, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Hallelujah. Five more thousand. We got three, and then five, and then, I mean, it's taken off now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power falls, miracles, salvation, miracles, salvation. But you know what else is coming? Look at verse 1. It says, and this is because of what was just taking place, "and they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain, the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them hold the next day, for it was now eventide." Because of that miracle, What happens? They got put in jail. Candy said Wednesday night, and I agree with her after she heard that sermon, and then I got up and exhorted for just a moment on the martyrs. She said, oh my God, whatever happened to just good old Christianity where we just really love God, go to church, serve the Lord, raise our kids in church, and just go home, you know, and just go to heaven and to a ripe old age. I mean, that's wonderful. The only thing is, that's not what revival looks like. So I've asked you to imagine with me this morning. But then we're taking our imagination just very briefly to another place, to what real revival looked like. 5,000, how many of you got 5,000 born again, all as a part of that? Those men that did that were jailed, temporarily jailed. Now look at 4:29. After they got out of jail, they got back together with much of the church. And they said these things, they prayed this prayer. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak the word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed. Okay, we won't go into that verse. But as soon as this jailing takes place, now this is not, again, the Holy Spirit coming for the first time, but as soon as all these people are born again, and the men that get out of jail, and they come back to the church, and they say, you know what, we've been threatened, we've been jailed, and again, the power of the Holy Ghost comes so strong that it just shakes the building. Hallelujah. How many would like to be a part of that? Amen. Glory to God. When we get to the part about jailing, how many, we're not going to ask that. Huh? Okay. Acts chapter 5. We won't go into that, the first part, but let's look down around verse 14, because this is what's happening. It's happening rapidly, and it's happening often. And the believers were more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both men and women. Everybody say multitudes.
Multitudes.
Say Mockley's in revival.
Mockley's in revival.
Multitudes. Men and women. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So these multitudes, inasmuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing in sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Hallelujah! Multitudes being saved. 3,000, 5,000. Power falling, jailing, coming back, power falls. Now, can you imagine us getting out of our cars and people being so, I mean, people are all out there in the parking lot, and the power so strong that as I or you that are baptized in his power are walking up, that our shadow cast upon them before they can ever get in the church, they're raised up. That's what revival looks like. And we say glory to God, and I believe that you mean that. But there's something that went along with it. There's something that went along with it. Verse 17. And the high priest rose, and all they that were with him, and with the sect of the Sadducees, and filled with indignation, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, okay, and I won't go into all that. I'll save you a little bit of time. I love this. This is one of my favorite ones. They put them in the prison. I think this is the one where they put them in the prison. And then the next day they tell them, go get those guys. We're going to examine them. And they go and they come back and they go, they're not there. And while they're standing there, and the one guy's saying not there, and then you got this big official meeting, they're not there. Another guy walks in and says, you know those guys you're looking for? They're over there preaching over there at the other place where he told them not to be. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. 6, verse 7, it says, and when they had laid, had set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Oh, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests. Okay, that's not really the verse I don't think that I was after. If we went into 7 and we went into 8, which we're not, where I'm going to let you go here in just a minute, is this. One of the next things we see is Stephen and the exploits that he began to do as one of the deacons. But what happened to Stephen? He was immediately stoned. Many of you, just to be here, have already faced what it's really a Mark chapter 4 kind of, because of the word's sake. But if we did put it in this definition, persecution, many of you, just by coming here and seeking the Lord and helping us go into revival, have already faced what you could call a persecution to some degree, by facing sickness. Many of you, I don't have time to go around the room. Many of you have come close to death in the last couple of years, few years. Many of you have faced horrible financial situations. Some of you have faced horrible financial situations and physical abnormalities. Some of you have faced horrible things with your children, your families. The enemy's tried to just torment you to death with all that kinds of things. And that's kind of persecution for righteousness' sake, because here's the deal. He knows we're going in. It's not about you. It's about the word, and it's about stopping us. It's about stopping us. We face some persecution. We've had elders leave this church for not the right reasons. We've had people leave, and you know, one of the things I found out, I couldn't believe this. This was a shock to me. When people leave here and they don't come back, did you know that they have the audacity to stop sending in their money as well? So you don't just leave people, you don't just lose people you love. There's big gaping holes. So what do we keep doing? We just keep preaching. All I'm saying is this: you've already begun to see some of the fight by coming here and being a part of it. But what we're headed towards is something so wonderful that we won't even be able to explain the joy that we'll be able to talk to each other about having been in the last service. But will it be like we've imagined? Will it be like what we've imagined? Will we go right back into our usual routines? Let me say this real quickly. It's not going to be all gloom and doom. It's not, I mean, there was even rest for the church back then. This is not like you've seen those Terminator movies where the earth is burned over. And even in the tribulation, it's not going to be exactly like that. Most of even the tribulation is taking place over in and around Israel. So like Jesus said, in the day when the Son of Man comes, it'll be like the days of Noah. They will be, you know, there will be a normality to some degree. But here's the thing. If you think that what we're going to do is we're going to have these services and then we're going to go back right into our routine, you better understand something. For revival to come, one of the things that those men did was this. They sold their life. They weren't perfect in their doctrine as of yet. They had not fasted fully, but they sold their life. They followed a man who said, "Will you sell your life to me? Will you give your entire life?" One of the ways that we can do that is this. Imagine this. It will not be on a Sunday that the glory falls, that we go back and then go into our routines. At that given point, then we become responsible. We can't go back and watch our favorite show or this, that, and I'm not against that. My desire is this. Not because somebody legalistic said, you stop watching football, or you stop doing this, or you stop all those things. There's no sin in that. But the greatest day of my life will be was I'll be so full of doing the work of the Lord that somebody will come to me, and this, ladies can't even relate to this, but somebody come and say, God say, hey, did you know the Gators they're going to the national championship, or oh man, I'd love to watch that. I didn't even know they were doing that good this year. I haven't even had a chance to watch a game because I've been so involved in the power of God. to think that 50 people are going to be healed and that they're not going to grab you by the shirt tail and say, look, can you go home to that sick mama or daddy with me? Can you go to the rest home? Can you go to the Hope Hospice with me this afternoon? And can you meet me on Tuesday? And can you meet me on Wednesday? Routines are going to be blown away. Our lives are going to be changed. We're going to have to come to a place to say, if we want revival, what's going to happen is this. We're going to see the power. We're going to see salvations. There was a triplicate there. You can write them down. There was power. There was salvation and miracles. And also there was persecution. There was tremendous persecution. Can we stand up against it? But one of the things that we got to know from the very beginning is routines are going to be blown completely out of the water. It's not going to be life as same old, same old. It's going to be a willingness to say, okay, God, my life is not my own anymore. I can't do what I've been doing. I'm not healed, so I can look. The blind guy won't go home and say, look, now I can see. Now I can see to watch my favorite movie. He'll say, my God, now I can see. To go and evangelize the power of God into all the earth. The people won't be saying, look, I'm pain-free now so I can walk the malls. They'll be saying, I'm pain-free now so I can go one to the next to say, salvation has come through Jesus Christ. Our routines are no longer, our lives are no longer our own. Our routines are blown out of the water. We cannot live our lives anymore. We're not being healed so we can live a better life. We're being healed so we can be His ambassadors in the earth. Hallelujah. Our lives will change for that purpose, and we might as well get used to it right now. We might as well get, if somebody calling you to say, will you come do this? Will you come pray for this? Will you come pray for that? Well, I would, but, you know, I got 15 minutes left in my workout. That touches me. Or I would, but my they're doing my nails right now. That touches some of y'all. Or I would, but I'm doing something real responsible like work. I got to finish this. Routines. How much are you willing to say, blow me out of the water, Lord Jesus? I don't know that I'm ready, but I know that I better get ready. Because if I keep saying, revival, 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 I got to know this, that if I see that the book of Acts is the perfect picture of revival, those guys, their routines, their lives were forever changed. Hallelujah. And please, again, don't get crazy with it. You'll still have a family. You'll still be able to do things. People will live and die in revival. People will backslide in revival. It won't keep everybody totally together. People will get It'll still be a normality, but it will change our lives forever. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Lord, if there is anyone in here this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. There will be the day where we'll be multiplied, where there'll be 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. But Lord, right now, we're calling on you for the one, for the two. And I'm really not sure how much I mean it. All I know is to keep going forward. I will keep praying the mysteries. But I do mean as much as I can, Lord, change my life. Cause me to be willing to go to whatever extent, to whatever changes my life might take upon it for the revival's sake. Because one day I'm going to stand before you, Lord, and I cannot wait to stand there. And my desire is to present before you everything, all of everything that you've asked me to do. Father, I pray. Right now, if you're in here this morning and you're here, this is not a salvation message. Everybody's praying, everyone with their eyes closed, so you feel a sense of privacy. If you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, in other words, you have never, to your knowledge, asked Him to come in, or perhaps you've been away for a while, perhaps you've been backslidden. That's a word that means you went back into the world after you were in church. If you went back into the world and you're just really not sure where you stand with the Lord, if you need prayer this morning, right where you stand, just raise your hand and I will pray for you. Anybody in here this morning? Is there anybody? Maybe there's nobody, but if there's anybody, I want you to be sure before you leave here today. If there's anybody in here this morning that is born again and you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this service is available for you. If after we pray and I dismiss, if you desire to be filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of praying in other tongues, if you come up here, I promise you we'll pray for you, and I can almost guarantee you that you will be praying in other tongues in the next 10 minutes. If that's you, please come up immediately. If anybody tries to stop you, just go right on past. Keep coming. I'm going to pray for the whole congregation. You say, what is baptism in the Holy Ghost? It's the evidence of praying in tongues. It doesn't mean that you're not already saved. It just means that the Holy Ghost wants to come on you and give you the fullness of His baptism. If that's you this morning, please come forward after we pray. Father, I just love You. I thank You for Your word sown in our hearts. I pray that You'll begin to adjust in us what the image of revival looks like. I pray that, Lord God, that You'll begin to change us inside. And I pray that even to all of us who believe we are, and I believe that You believe we are, revivalists going forward, that You'll take us to the next level. Help us to be willing to go to that place. Father, I commit these people unto You. I thank You for their prayers. I thank You for their financial giving. And Lord, we love them with all our hearts. Candy and I, we thank You for them. We ask You to bless their lives, bless their families, their children, and extended families that are not even here today. And we commit them all in the name of Jesus Christ unto You, Father. Amen. God bless you.